Welcome back to Up to the Minors. I'm your host, Connor Ramsden, and with me, as always, it's the OC to my Rizzo. It's TJ Rust, everybody.
Is it bad that I don't know what that means?
Yeah, because we're talking about, it's, you know, a reference to the movie we're about to
talk about. Oh, okay, yes, yes. The nicknames, I'm bad at it.
I'm actually really worried about this podcast we're about to do right now.
I'm like, Rizzo. You know what's funny is I was thinking Lizzo. I was like, I'm not a fat black woman. But God. I get, okay. Yeah,
well, now, man, I'm concerned.
You should be. We are going to be talking about the movie Miracle.
We are.
Because now, well, here's the thing, is there is hockey news, but I mean, we'll get to that on another episode.
Yeah, we will have to do another episode soon to talk about the hockey news. We planned to do this weeks ago, and it just happened that we weren't able to do it until now because of things, and
we've had lots of issues.
Yeah, we really have.
We've run into some issues technically and otherwise.
But on the plus side, once we get this podcast done, when we go to do our next podcast, we will actually have hockey news to talk about.
Yes.
But this week we're going to do kind of a rewatchable style movie review of the movie Miracle. We're going to go through the scenes, the actors, the best quotes, because there's, oh man, there's a lot of those.
There's a good amount of quotes.
And talk about one of the best hockey movies ever made, which you watched for the first time for podcast.
That's why we did this, because I was talking to Ramsden, and Ramsden knows I don't watch movies.
Accurate.
So we thought it'd be fun to pick a hockey movie that I have not seen, and you definitely highly recommended.
Oh, I mean, this is, if we're talking hockey movies, this is not my favorite hockey movie.
Is it not? Which one's your favorite?
But this is my favorite serious hockey movie.
Oh, there's a couple. Mighty Ducks?
Comedy. No. Okay. Slapshot.
Goon.
I do love Goon. Yeah. Mm. But okay, in terms of serious hockey movies, this is the best one.
And it's pretty serious. It's got some laughs. We found that out.
Absolutely.
But
yeah, it was funnier than I remembered.
It truly, yeah. When you were like, I was like, there's actually some funny like quotes and parts, but yeah, it's a hell of a movie. Very inspiring movie.
America. Very inspiring movie. So let's get through. Let's get started on it. First thing we want to do, we want to go through all the best scenes, because there's a bunch of them.
There's a significant amount of good scenes.
We're going to go through them in order. Maybe I think we did. We did a practice one. I think we peppered in the quotes as we went through.
Yes, which I think we should do.
I think it's the right way to do it. I just want to have a couple things queued up here, so I'm sorry.
Cue it up.
You can hear me typing. But let's get after it here. Now, the first.
And if you haven't seen this movie, watch it. Trust me, it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll give like a, maybe we'll give like a score at the end of it or something.
Ooh.
But let's get started with the best scenes. Now, if I miss any, like, if you feel free to
I'll jump in.
All right. The first scene I want to talk about is the training camp.
Okay.
Now, the whole beginning, you know, it's a little slow.
I hate to do this to you, but can we talk about the interview first?
What interview?
When he's getting interviewed for the job.
When Herb gets interviewed for the job. We can if you want. You thought that was fun.
I thought it was fun because they were sitting there and they're like, oh man, like, we're not expecting to win.
And
I was
right,
like,
yeah.
I was like, is that really the attitude we need? Like, it took one guy to go in there and goes, no, I want to win. And they're like, my God, we never thought of that.
It does also set the table for how Herb is going to act pretty much the entire rest
exactly.
of the movie. Where he's like, I'm in charge. And if you annoy me, like, I'm not going to even pretend to listen to you.
We do it my way. Yes. No. So that's, I thought it was an interesting scene because you're right. It set the tone for Herb, but it was also funny how he kind of went in there and he's like, no, I want to win. And they were like, my God.
You would think that would always be the goal, but apparently not. All right. So I think the training camp is pretty good.
Training camp. Yes.
I'm a big fan of that part. Some good moments in this scene. The drills look great. All the hockey in this movie looks great. I think that's the one thing we're going to talk about over and over again.
Yeah.
The hockey looks absolutely terrific. Mike Urizioni, the future captain and game-winning goal scorer of this team, getting asked to turn around so they can see who his name on the back, so they can figure out who he is. And then the other guy saying, nah, he's got no chance. Don't even worry about that guy.
Right, right. Yeah.
Incredible.
Just sets the tone for how sometimes you miss it.
Yeah. And then a part I know you love, Herb and assistant coach Craig Patrick talking about the list of names on day one of camp.
He has the list. He has the lineup.
He has 26 names. He says he's going to get down to 20 by the tournament on day one. Why did they invite all these guys?
I mean, maybe just to waste time and money.
And, of course, the first of, I mean, many, many great Herb Brooks lines. You're missing some of the best players. I'm not looking for the best players. I'm looking for the right players, which is
deep, deep.
Beautiful sentiment about building a strong group, a strong team. And
it's really a testament to team chemistry.
Yeah.
Like we'd mentioned before to each other, like it is really shows that team chemistry plays a big role.
And this movie is based on the real 1980 US Olympic team doing this, obviously. Yeah. And it really is in almost perfectly historically accurate. There's obviously some license in a bit, you know, they take a bit of license here and there, but for the most part, this is as correct as it could possibly be. All the game play that they reenact is almost exactly like the actual games. A lot of Herb Brooks quotes are things he apparently actually said to a lot of these guys. Yeah. And so, and the story of the US Olympic team was team chemistry. And believing in yourself and your teammates and overcoming incredible odds. And
it is quite
the theme of the movie. And Herb lays it out right there.
He does. And it's quite an inspirational film, too. It's like a Rocky-esque underdog story, which is beautiful.
I think we talked about this before, but this is when Disney was making all of these movies, right? So there was a period where Disney kept making sports movies almost exactly like this. There's football movies and basketball movies and baseball movies that are basically this exact same underdog overcoming adversity thing. I can only assume because of Rocky, like you mentioned. I can only assume that Rocky being so successful kind of led to this.
Definitely played a role.
But I think it is really cool that Herb, right off the bat, tells you, like, this is what this is going to be about. We want a team.
Yes, yes.
And I will cut the best players if I have to make that happen. And even though I might look like an idiot, I kind of know what I'm doing.
And, I mean, not to spoil the movie, but it seemed to have worked out.
I'm not sure you can spoil the movie because this is a thing that happened in real life.
Well, that's the other thing. When I watched it, it wasn't like, oh my God, what's going to happen? I did know what was going to happen, but just the way it plays out is very interesting.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like... I'm going to reference a movie, and you definitely haven't seen it, but there's a movie called Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
Which is a football movie, very similar to this. It's absolutely incredible. It's one of my favorite, like, sports movies. It's so good. But the funny part is they do all this triumph over adversity, and they play the, like, amazing team, you know, kind of like the Soviets in this movie.
Yeah.
And they actually lose. The guy gets tackled on the 1 yard line, and they lose by, like, an inch. And it's kind of like a big heartbreak, but, like, you know, they actually did so much better than anyone thought they could anyway. So it's still kind of a win, even though they lost. This one, we know they're going to win.
It was written in the stars or in the script or in history books.
Yeah. Or on their gold medals that they actually won.
Exactly. Fuck, exactly. I don't know if you're going to move on to another scene, but I do want to squeeze in one quick quote from Herb when he says, when he, you know, cuts literally half the team or more than half the team, and he's walking down the stairs and he goes, those guys got off easy.
Yeah.
And it's really like, you hear that and you're like, oh shit.
And another piece that I know you like, because we talked about this before, is when he says, I'm not going to be your friend. You want a friend, you talk to Coach Patrick or you talk to Doc.
Talk to these two idiots. Yeah. Don't even look at me.
I'm not here to be your friend.
And hey, that it's, again, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but it's another great quote that happens in the movie that the assistant coach says at Doc, and Doc goes, maybe they're too busy hating him to hate each other.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right?
It's a good strategy.
Not a bad one.
Yeah. So I think when we did this practice one, this is where you threw in an extra scene. So we'll talk about it, because I was just going to go straight to the first practice. But you like the bar scene.
Well, I like the bar scene because it made me feel like a little bit related. Like, it's more relatable. It's a relatable scene.
Yeah.
Because you're like, they're all drinking. And as you mentioned in, when we talked about it, was there is, it shows some tension already.
That's right. Yeah. It's, between the Minnesota guys and the Boston guys.
Yeah. Yeah. You get the tone for the guy with the mustache. I'm bad with the names. I'm sorry.
Oh,
the
Ralph Cox. Mustache.
And yeah, Cox. That's it. Huge Cox.
I'm surprised you couldn't remember that one.
I know. Well, what's the hockey player name start? Like the nicknames and stuff. I was like, oh, fuck. Who's who? O'Callaghan, O'Brien, for fuck's sake, somebody.
Oh, my God.
But I set the tone for him, for Cox, to be the nice, jovial man.
Yeah, the guy everyone likes.
So I thought it was a fun
scene. You get to see everything. You get to see that OC's a bit of a hothead. You get to see that Rizzo's going to be the leader of these guys. You get to see that Cox is the, you know, the guy everyone likes.
And you get to see, you know, the tests that Brooks handed out to the guys. Right. And
that Jim will eventually not take.
Ooh, baby.
Now, I love the first practice. So
yes,
this was one of my big scenes. I absolutely love this entire thing. Johnson going coast to coast to start, going off the skate like he's Pavel Bure, just absolutely walks Jimmy Craig. Gorgeous goal. Gotta love that.
Yeah.
Or Brooks gives him shit for it, but Johnson, if you're listening, I liked it. It was
Graves was a fan. Fuck Garth Brooks. Her Brooks. You know how many times I did that in my head?
Garth Brooks. Coach of the 1980 Olympic team, Garth Brooks.
Country music star and coach of the
1980. Now, the important part of this is we get the OC cheap shot on McClanahan, settling an old score, and the fight.
And the ensuing fight, yeah.
Which kind of leads us to getting intros, learning everybody's name, learning who everybody is. We get a great Brooks quote. You guys look like a couple of monkeys trying to hump a football, which is...
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means, but it's great coaching.
I'm surprised monkeys can do that. But yeah, hey, I mean, if you want to insult them, that's one way to do it.
You got to learn everybody's name, who's from Boston, who's from Minnesota. And yeah. We get a great Ralph Cox moment that really showcases why he's, you know, they really set you up to like Ralph Cox. So it hurts when they eventually cut him.
As you say,
later on in the movie. Yeah, they really
which
make
is smart.
It, yeah, they really make it so that you think Ralph Cox is the best. And I honestly, the mustache alone probably would have done it for me. The Wendell Clark stash, like I already was a fan of the guy. But when they're all saying where they're from and he goes, Ralph Cox, I'm from wherever's not going to get me hit. I was like, oh, I love this guy.
It's a good line, yeah.
Next great scene. I don't know if you got anything you want to throw in here, but I was going to go to the Norway game more specifically after the Norway game when Herb attempts to murder them.
Yes. and you have brought it up on the podcast before about bad coaches.
Yes. Yeah.
And I mean, is this a bad coach move? Is this pushing them too far? Is this motivation? What is it?
So I would say the difference is that I had coaches who did this to me when I was a kid or a teenager. These are grown men. I mean, they're like, you know, they're in their early 20s, but still, you know,
yeah.
It's a little more not reasonable children. Than doing it to kids. I mean, I did run suicides for like an entire 2-hour soccer practice once. Not great.
No.
I think I was like 12. Not ideal.
No, not good
for
you.
This movie did lead to a lot of coaches thinking they were Herb Brooks and just kind of being shitbags for like quite a long time.
Like, dude, relax. They're participation medals.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But this scene, I mean, it's fantastic because they're clearly not taking the Norway game seriously. They're checking out chicks in the crowd. And yep, Herb's having none of it. He skates them. The lights go off. He skates them. Doc and Craig Patrick try to stop him. He skates him.
They're like doing it with tears in their eyes. They're like, twee.
Well, they're throwing up too.
Of course.
Throwing up, and he's just like, nope, keep going. I mean, now there's the famous bag skate, right? And bag skate has turned into just a term where you, you know, just for a practice where you skate your asses off because you played like garbage. But it, right, it comes from the idea that coaches used to skate you until someone puked and then you could all stop.
Ooh.
That was the punishment.
Okay.
Herb went way past that because they were throwing up about 40 suicides before he stopped.
Someone throws up and they're all like, yes. And he's like, I don't give a shit. And they're like, no.
And finally, we get the beautiful Mike Irizioni, Windsor, Massachusetts. I play for the United States of America.
United States of America, baby.
And there's more inspirational scenes, you know, in this movie, but this is the first big inspirational scene. I am not American, but when he does that, I get a little bit like fired
up.
Man. It's great.
I agree. It's a good one. Yeah.
And Herb going like, yeah, that's what I wanted.
This is exactly what it's about. Well, I'm sure he said it early on, but it's not about the name on the back.
Yep.
It's about the name on the front. And
exactly.
It's the United States of America.
Remember what you're here for.
America.
And then we get into a practice montage. And this is just a montage. I don't know if we have to talk about it too much, but I love this practice montage. It's great.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's, I mean,
and they're doing all the drills they did before, but they're doing them well.
They're doing them well. Everything's clicking. Yeah, yeah. Herb Brooks cracks a smile. No.
Yeah, right? It's really good.
It's a good one.
This is some of the hockey stuff in this is going to be hard to talk about because, like, you know, how are we going to describe them playing hockey? But the hockey scenes in this are kind of the best scenes, and this is one of them. This is just really great hockey.
No, and it's because it's a 2-hour and 15-minute movie. I would say, like, what and how much of it would you say is like solid hockey? Because that final game,
I would say the whole last 35 minutes is entirely hockey.
Exactly what I was gonna say. That last game against Russia, I mean, that's a half hour, 45 minute.
Yeah, so I want to say at least 50 minutes of this are them playing hockey.
I would say maybe even more, but it's and they did it right.
Yeah, they did. So if you hockey can do players,
if you can do it properly, then fill the movie with hockey because that's why we're watching it.
Instead of teaching actors to play hockey, they taught hockey players how to act and just let Kurt Russell carry the movie. Yeah, and just let Kurt Russell carry the whole movie and made sure the hockey scenes were awesome. And the hockey scenes were awesome.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. I have the We're a Family scene. I don't know how you feel about this one.
I mean, I think it's such a because we also set up a segment where we would pick nitpicks.
Oh, we'll get to those. Absolutely.
Well, but this is one of my nitpicks in a little bit is that like it's a bit of a cheesy dialogue move.
Oh, it's the cheesy. It's probably the cheesiest dialogue in the whole movie when like, they're arguing.
It's a cheesy line.
Herb's brought in some other kid who just finished his college season.
Yeah.
Because like these guys are all finished college. Like they just finished their college careers and now they're doing this. And this kid just finished his college season for Herb Brooks at the University of Minnesota. And Herb brings him in late. And they're not happy because we're a family.
We're a family. And I'm like, you can't add one more, you lunatics. But okay. I'm not.
Apparently, this kid's pretty good. So
like, I know, right? Like, I would have said, they all look at him like, shut up, dude. We want him.
You also get some nice Jimmy Craig stuff in here. And we'll talk about the entire Jim Craig plot line because he's like, I want to say the third most important character in this movie.
He's up there. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk about Jim Craig and like his whole thing. But you get the Jim Craig and his dad moment. And I kind of conclude this one with family Christmas they do right after.
Yes.
Where they get the whistle for Patrick and the whip for Herb.
Whip for Herb.
I love
taking that one home to Patty.
I love when Patrick blows the whistle and then they all go again.
Oh yeah, that's right. So again, see nitpick.
It's funny.
It is.
And I think this part really comes back around later on in the movie because when OC and Rizzo and all these guys say like we're a family, you can't add people in here. This comes back around when OC gets injured and Herb doesn't cut him.
Yes.
And bring
yes.
another guy in, which yeah. he probably, you know, logically he should have done.
Might have.
He didn't, and it paid off big for him. And yeah. the reason he didn't do it is because they'd made it really clear that, you know, they were a family and that they had some serious team chemistry going, and that you can't bring guys in. You also can't take guys out.
Yes, yes. Well, it reminded me a little bit, and this is, again, we're going to talk about the Leafs, but when Marner was hurt and they brought him on the road trip.
Yes.
To, like, the West Coast.
Exactly. It's after like he that. Twisted his ankle against Philly.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's like that. It reminded me a little bit of that. Like, we're going to bring – we're not changing anything. We need, yeah. like, everybody to stick around.
Yeah, you don't get to stay in Toronto and dig around and do whatever. Like, you're staying with the boys.
You got to be with the boys.
Yeah. Now, my next
– or big girls.
Scene, my next big scene, when they cut Ralph.
Ooh.
Now, this is a blow to the heart. I got to be honest.
Well, yeah, it's like you said perfectly. They built him up to be this sweetheart of a man.
Yeah, he's the funny guy. He's the likable guy. He's the guy who doesn't have, like, people hating him. Like, at the beginning of the movie, everyone has, like, their sides. And
Minnesota, whatever. Boston, yeah.
And everybody likes Ralph.
Yeah, he seems to have gelled with everybody.
And they cut the guy, and it's a blow, man. It's a blow. And also, it has double significance because we know it's what happened to Herb Brooks 20 years earlier.
Yes, exactly.
He was Ralph Cox.
I mean, he wishes with that name. No, you're right. You're right. And because this is, I'm going to jump back to the beginning a little bit, but when he's talking to Patty in the bedroom and she's like, every 4 years you want to go after this, like it's eating him alive.
It really is. And it's now I am sure if, like, not just for movie Ralph Cox, but for real Ralph Cox, this is probably a big blow that he was the last guy cut from one of the most famous hockey teams to ever live.
Still made it in the movie.
He sure did. But I mean, God, I'm surprised he didn't coach another team 20 years later.
Oh my God. The cycle continues.
What else have we got? The next one I have is the first Soviet game. The exhibition game at Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
I want to talk about the Russians for a little bit here. They're perfect.
Yes. They're so I like the perfect coach. I'm a big
fan of the coach. The coach is fantastic. And I don't think he says a single word the entire movie.
No, except at the end when he's yelling at the ref.
That's right. When he's screaming in Russian. But he is so good. Yeah. He looks like exactly what the Russian coaches look like.
Well, the Russian team in general, like you're saying, is good. Like, especially when Brooks walks by them on the street.
Yeah.
And they're, like, all dressed in red. Like, it's in a line. Like, it's very – you're like, oh, shit.
And on the ice, too, they actually, like, play the Russian style. Like, you can see them making all these drop passes and moving it around in the neutral zone. Like, they're playing like the Russians. The hockey is incredible in this. I got to
tell you. Yes.
Like, they really nailed it. The attention to detail is unbelievable. They're massive.
They're built like Russians.
Like, the Russian dudes in this movie are way bigger than the American actors.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not even close.
No. They really juiced them up.
I should actually look up. I'm going to look this up quickly. The stats on Boris Mikhailov. Like, I want to see
how size and weight.
Yeah, I want to see how big he is, because Boris Mikhailov in this movie is absolutely enormous.
He's a giant.
He's the biggest dude on the ice. 1.78 meters. God, I hate when they do meters.
That's like 6 feet.
Oh. Well, he's not 6 feet in this movie, let me tell you. I don't know who they got to play him, but the guy they got to play him is absolutely enormous. And they're, like, laying them out, absolutely smoking them. OC gets injured.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have that great moment after where Herb tells Jim Craig, I want that kid in net who wouldn't take the test.
Yes, yes. Well, if we can jump back again a little bit, it's when he shows Brooke shows up at Craig's door and he's like, you didn't take the test.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't see why that has anything to do with stopping pucks.
Should we do the Jim Craig thing now?
One of my favorite Jim Craig moments is at the end.
Okay. Well, we'll get to Jim Craig at the end then.
Okay.
But this moment is great. Yes. It really is fantastic. Yes. Now, the next one I have is not the Sweden game itself, but the intermission of the Sweden game where he loses it at McClanahan.
Yes. And this is where the nitpick comes in. He goes, I am a hockey player.
Oh, that? Yeah. You didn't like that dialogue?
It's, again, it's good. I mean, I liked how Herb Brooks left and he goes, you think that'll get him fired up?
I love how Craig Patrick's like, yeah, I'll clean up.
Yeah, I'll take care of this. Like, it's a good duo.
I have a different nitpick.
Give me the nitpick.
My nitpick is that he has I believe it's an upper thigh contusion.
The injury?
He has a bruised thigh.
Well, that's
There's
what he
no
says,
way
right?
on earth that a hockey player is sitting out an Olympic game versus Sweden because he has a bruised thigh. I don't even think that would be a debate.
Hockey
players are psychos. I mean, Patrice Bergeron was playing Stanley Cup Finals games with a punctured lung.
Yeah,
these guys are lunatics.
There's no
way on earth this guy's like, oh, I got a bruised thigh. I better get my equipment off.
Let's start changing. Hit the showers. See you later. I'll see you at the bar.
No chance.
No.
This guy's not fighting with Herb. This guy's fighting with Doc. When Doc tries to tell him he's not playing, he's like, I will kill you, old man. I'm getting back up on the ice.
I'll rip those glasses right off your face.
But, I mean, yeah, Herb, throw in the table, put your gear on.
Yeah. I want you to be a hockey player.
Yeah. A bruise on the leg is a hell of a long way from the heart, you candy ass. It's just a savage burn.
It's a savage burn.
I'll play on one leg if you want. Like, it's great. It really is great.
Yes, no, that's not a nitpick for me. We're like the back and forth a little bit where they're like really into it.
Yeah, just the part where he's already left the room and he's screaming, I am a hockey player.
It's like, all right.
Probably could have done without that bit.
But great scene.
But I'm actually going to blame this on Disney and not the writers.
Well, I mean, I got a lot to blame on Disney.
If this isn't a Disney movie, let's be real. There's a whole lot of swearing in this movie. In the actual, if you were actually going to do this hockey movie.
No, I thought the same thing. I was like, there'd be a lot more F-bombs and some other stuff.
They talk as much like hockey players as you can talk without swearing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's still a long way from the reality if you're going to not swear.
And yes.
In this case, like, you know, there's a version out there where this movie's rated R and he's screaming, fuck you, Herb!
Yeah, no, exactly. There would be a lot more. There might be a lawsuit if that movie came out.
Now, this part, I didn't know how to do this. So I didn't want to, like, go through the games individually or anything like that. I just put all the hockey games are awesome.
Yeah. Yes. Well, the hockey is incredible, but it's also it's kind of what you said about the Russians. They seem to have made the players very like the other teams, like the Swedes, they seem to have nailed the casting for the other teams.
Yeah, they really did. They look like it.
Exactly.
When there's one part of the Sweden game where they're going like, and Eriksson passes it to Eriksson. First of all, hilarious. Second of all, they look like Eriksson's. The guys who are out there, there's that one dude with the blonde mullet on the Swedish team.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that guy is a Swedish hockey player. That's not an actor. Yes. They found a Swedish hockey player because, like, that guy could not be anything else.
No, it's true. You can't get any. You can't go anywhere with that hair.
Honestly, that guy couldn't be a grocery clerk. He's a Swedish hockey player.
I wouldn't let him touch my eggs.
But all these games, the Czech game, the Norway game, all great.
Great hockey.
And now, the best scene of the movie. The Soviet pre-game.
Ooh.
Not the game.
Good.
Not the game. The pre-game.
The pre-game, okay.
It's the best scene. It's the best part of the whole movie.
Yes. I have a different favorite scene, but sure.
You have a different favorite scene.
Yes. But I want to save it for the end.
All right, we'll get to it. But I think this is the scene. This is the scene that you remember. This is the one you come back to.
No, of course. I agree.
First of all, I just want to say they nail every single part of this. It's so quiet, like no one's talking in the room, and they're just taping their sticks and stuff.
Taping the sticks, yeah.
I mean, I've never played an Olympic final, but like any hockey game that I've played in that I considered like to be a big game, it was always like that. Everyone's just sitting there, quiet, putting their stuff on. It's kind of like a holy shit, we're about to do this kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And like they really nail that big game nerves.
The buildup, the thing you've literally spent the whole movie trying to get to.
Another great part of this before we get to the speech, OC finding out he's in the game is great.
Yeah.
When he's sitting on the table and Patrick goes, You ready? And he's like, don't fucking mess with me. Like,
don't do this.
He's like so excited. That's great. Yeah.
No,
and then, I mean, the speech of the century.
I mean, I'm sure that speech has been ripped off many different ways.
Oh my God, absolutely. But I mean, there's nothing, you can't beat it. It's perfect. No. It's so good. And so many of these movies have this big speech. A lot of them are football movies. There's the Al Pacino one where he coaches that team and does a great speech. And a whole lot of these movies have really, really, really good inspirational speeches. And this is the best one out of any sports movie.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
The great moments from great opportunity speech. It's fantastic. I love every bit of it. I love when he gets fired up. I love that he admits that they're the underdogs.
Okay, I love when he
goes, yeah, if we played them 10 times, they might win 9, but not today.
Not today.
Today
is the one. Yeah, no, you're right.
I love that. And I love at the end when he gets fucking pissed and gets fired up. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great team the Soviets have. Screw them. This is our time.
You could definitely tell that, because I assume that speech is all real, that he could feel it like happening too. Like he could feel that something was going to happen.
I don't know if the speech is real.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
I'm not sure. I'm sure he gave a inspirational speech.
You would have to.
Yeah. A lot of we'll talk about the Herb Brooks quotes, because we're going to say a lot of Herb Brooks quotes today doing this. I mean, you kind of have to. It's the best part of the movie.
Yeah, Kurt Russell, baby.
It's the best part of the entire movie, is basically everything he says. I'm sure he gave a great speech before the game. I'm not sure if he gave this great speech.
Right, okay. Got it.
But this speech, written by whoever wrote this movie, I mean, it's absolutely spectacular. And then I love when they tap the letters on the way out.
Yes.
That part's great too.
No, it's because we have a part where we're going to talk about who won the movie.
Yes.
I mean, that is as American as it gets.
Oh my God, is it ever good. Like, now, we've got the game, the miracle itself.
The actual miracle.
I just want to say my favorite part of this is when they use the real TV footage.
Yes. Okay. I was going to say, because you could tell that was like legit.
That was real. Yeah.
I liked how they, even at the end there, they sprinkled in like the real calls from the radio and the.
Yes. Al Michaels. One of the most famous calls ever.
Yeah.
In all of sports. Do you believe in miracles? It might be the most famous.
Well, exactly. Yes. And that's why I'm so glad it was in there.
And I mean, like, not to, you know. But I was going to say not to hate on Pierre Maguire, but like it is an up to the minor staple. So I might as well just go with it at this point. But this is why I hate Pierre Maguire so much. Because do you believe in miracles is such an incredible call at that moment.
Yes.
And when we did our podcast about some of our favorite games of all time, we had Gord Miller's incredible call after Jordan Eberle tied the game against Russia when he goes, can you believe it? And the difference is this one, Ken Dryden was smart enough to shut the fuck up and Pierre Maguire started babbling all over the goddamn thing.
That's the best. He's like, I have a thing to say. Everybody's listening to me.
Also, crazy that Ken Dryden did the commentary on this when he famously played head-to-head against the Russians in 1972 in the Summit Series. He was the goalie for Canada when they beat them on Paul Henderson's game-winning goal.
Oh, okay.
And now here he is 8 years later commentating the very same Russian team, like including Vladislav Tretiak, who was the goalie for both of those games.
Wow. Okay.
I think that's cool.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that's really cool. So let's just talk about this. I watched the actual game footage.
Yes. So they
nailed this.
And we were talking about it a little bit before we got started. I was wondering how much of the actual game, not the movie, but the game was real.
Yeah. It's identical.
It's
absolutely identical. Like
that's so cool.
They put so much work into this. You can I assumed it wasn't going to be accurate.
Well, yes, that's because it's like I said, when they, you know, tie the game and it's like the clock
zero
is run
seconds,
out.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, how real is this?
That's exactly what happened though.
Ramsden comes at me and goes, "You're an idiot. It's all real, dumb."
It's incredible though. Like I didn't think it was real until did that.
Yes, exactly. It's tough to realize how real it could be, but I mean, it seems so movie-like. I think that's why they have, like, you cannot not make this movie.
So there's some stuff they added to make it a little bit more of a movie. They like the first Russian goal.
Rams is like they never won gold. It was all a lie.
The first Russian goal looks like the first Russian goal. But that part where the guy clearly gets slashed in like the fucking like shoulder blades and then goes down, that they just put that in so you make sure you know that the Russians are evil.
Got it.
I mean, one look at that coach with his eyebrows, I could have told you the Russians were evil. But
didn't take much. Pretty sure I saw a nuke in the back.
Yeah. But like, you know, they put stuff in like that just to make sure you know. But it is almost a recreation.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So let's see what we got here. We got, the massive OC hit and then the Schneider goal.
Yeah.
Which, like, yeah, good call putting OC in this one.
Good call.
And we haven't talked about OC too much here, but we're going to get to OC because he's incredible in this movie. The Makarov goal, the second Russian goal. Fucking dirty. God damn, is it a nice goal.
Those Russians can play.
Absolutely filthy. the Johnson goal right at the end of the period. Now, this was going to be one of my nitpicks until I watched the actual footage. When he scores that goal to tie it at the end of the first period, the whole team jumps on the ice to celebrate. They actually did that.
Did they really?
They did. That was one of my nitpicks. Was that one of your nitpicks?
No, well, I was going to bring it up. Yeah, I was at least going to talk about how like they treated it like it was a game winner.
Yeah, and you were actually just tying it at two after the first period.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, take it easy.
No, but they actually did that.
That's awesome.
I know. It's kind of an insane thing to do.
How funny it would be if they got in the locker room and they're like, all right, let's go home.
I can't believe they did that. But here's the big part of why that was so significant. Okay. Russia changes goalies after the first period. Yes. They pull Tretiak. And far be it from me to question Mr. Eyebrows and his coaching ability. Yeah. But definitely a massive fuck up.
A little bit.
Because I watched the actual third and fourth goal, and they're pretty savable, gotta be honest.
Right.
The game winner, which we will get to, I mean, there's no excuse for letting that thing in, and I bet you Tretiak wouldn't have. So
Yes. No, so it's you know, might be a little bit of overexcitement there to get the new goalie out.
Plus, and I don't know if Herb Brooks actually said this or not, but he turns around and says to the bench, "We just put the best goalie in the world on the bench," and the guys get fired up.
And, yeah, you do.
You know, of course he would get fired up.
Of course, that's a compliment.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's a huge compliment.
He could have just not done that.
Could have just stuck it out for the last game. Honestly,
bad call. We got the Johnson ties the game with his second goal of the night. Mm-hmm. This one where he puts it through the Russian skates and then comes around and buries. Mm-hmm. That's exactly. It looks identical to the actual goal.
I love this. I love
it. It's so good.
That's so awesome. I'm gonna have to check out the highlights.
You should, honestly. You'll be wow, that's what that goal looked like.
That's awesome. That is
it's
so
really
cool.
Great.
That means they really put attention to detail in this movie.
Johnson, kind of the unsung hero in this movie. Doesn't get a lot of lines. Nope. Not in it too much.
Gets yelled at in the first scene.
Yeah, scores the nastiest goal of the entire movie in that first practice, and then scores two goals in the final game.
Good for him.
Ah, come on. And then Mike Irizioni, wins it with the clap bomb.
So that was a legit just clap bomb in the real life. Like that goal was wow.
I mean, like, not gonna lie, should have saved it.
it's like you said, the goalie switch. I mean, the clap bomb is pretty surprising.
You shouldn't be getting beaten on an unscreened clap bomb from the top of the dots. Let's be honest.
That's what I thought. I was like, that's why I was a little questioning if it was real or not, because I go, that would have been saved.
Especially with a wood stick in the 1980s. Like, I mean, and from a college kid. Like, this isn't Al McInnes teeing up a 100-mile-per-hour banger. Like, come on, buddy.
No. This is Bush League.
And, you know, you get the actual real-life famous call, like you said before. Yeah, do you believe in miracles? They play the actual Al Michaels call.
That they do. And that's, like I said, it's a cool little add-on. But then, okay, so now can I get to, I know this is going to be kind of dumb, but my favorite scene of the movie.
Absolutely.
Where what is wrong with me? Herb. This guy needs to, for some reason I'm listening to country music. No, when Herb Brooks runs into the back hallway.
Oh yeah, that is great. I did want to bring that up.
That is my favorite scene because that's like him just being like,
yeah,
like just take, like he's like, this is not about me. He leaves the team to go party on the ice.
I'm not even sure it's that it wasn't about him. I think it's he couldn't take it.
Couldn't handle it. Maybe that's it. But I thought it was a very like wrap up scene where you're like, okay, he's been through all this shit.
Yeah.
It literally, the whole movie is about how he's getting fucked over and he couldn't get the gold medal however many years ago. Like,
that was good. Yeah.
It's a big, I liked it a lot.
That was great. The thing I want to bring up from that is, it reminded me of when, the Dallas Mavericks beat the Miami Heat in the NBA finals. Ooh. And Dirk Nowitzki won that big upset over LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And that team everyone thought was invincible. When he pulled off that upset, Dirk went sprinting into the locker room and everyone was like, what the fuck?
Really?
Where's he going? And he said that he apparently when Germany had won a game at one of the Olympics before, he started crying on the court and he said he felt really embarrassed about it. And he was about to start sobbing. So he ran into the dressing room to cry.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And this kind of reminded me of that a little bit because it's good, like her being like, I can't be out here right now.
It's too much.
Yeah.
And you see Patty looking on. Patty's a real one.
Patty. We'll talk about Patty.
Love Patty.
All right. So let's get the best quotes. I have written down here everything said by Herb Brooks or Jack O'Callaghan in this entire movie.
Yes, yes.
They have no bad lines.
No.
Either of them. No. It's just fire all the way through.
they're the one-line machine.
Yeah. Most of Herb Brooks' quotes are real. And we'll get to that after reading through the movie once, but most of his great quotes are real.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for the best players, Craig. I'm looking for the right ones. You don't have enough talent to win on talent alone. That's like, I love that one. That's great.
It's a good one.
Again.
Again.
The name on the front is a hell of a lot more important than the one on the back. This cannot be a team of common men. Common men go nowhere.
Ooh.
We just put the best goalie in the world on the bench. The monkey football
one. Two monkeys fighting over a football or humping a football or beating up
and,
a football.
And I got to pepper in some Jack O'Callaghan here. I know you love when he comes up to Jim Craig and goes, what's up, you sieve?
When I heard that, I legitimately burst out laughing. Like, as a goalie, that is a funny thing to be called.
It's actually hilarious.
Like, I love that quote.
What's up, you sieve?
You sieve?
I love when they ask who's on the team, and he goes, oh, a lot of guys from Minnesota and Boston. And OC goes, yeah, that's going to work.
That'll work.
And the best OC quote, do these guys ever smile? He goes, they're Russians. They get shot if they smile.
Yes, that I had that as one of my top quotes, maybe the top quote. Because, yeah, they're watching the game footage, and they're like, do these guys ever smile? And
that's hilarious. Like,
that is smart.
Now, we also have – obviously, the great moments, great opportunity speech. Just the whole thing. I don't want to take quotes out speech. Of it and whatever. The whole thing. Yeah. And I'm including a real life one. Do you believe in miracles?
Ooh, there it is. I'm
put that in there because that it is in the movie.
One. And that, yeah, no, you're totally right.
So now, what is your pick for the best quote in this movie? And this is, I mean, we could do a bunch more movies on this, like a bunch more movie podcasts, and I don't know if we'd ever have a tougher best quote section than this one.
Okay, well, if we're going, like, because obviously I'm a childish person, I love I love the Civ.
That you're picking the Civ.
Because in terms of just like a funny like line, the Civ quote for some reason just made me laugh out loud.
Do you like it more than the Russian one?
I like it more than the Russian one. I do like it more than the Russian one.
Because oh wow!
For some reason, that one to me was just smart.
It stuck out, eh?
It stuck out. It was a really good one.
Now, I think the answer for me is the speech. But okay. If we're not picking the speech, if we're picking a specific line,
like it's got to be specific just one line. Yeah.
I'm picking "Do you believe in miracles?" That's amazing because that wasn't scripted. He actually said that in real life when this happened.
It's funny how off of a call like that, it becomes the name of the actual event.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I don't think they ever would have called it the Miracle on Ice if he hadn't said that.
Yeah, he might have stuttered his words or came up with a synonym for miracle and it might be called, you know.
That's such a good point. I never would have thought of that. But like we all know this as the Miracle on Ice. This movie is called Miracle.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't say that in real life at that exact moment,
who knows what it would have been called?
Who knows?
Maybe it would have been called Shot and Goal.
Now, I want to get into, I have what's aged the best or, you know, stuff you like about the movie.
Can we do the Jim Craig?
Oh, do you want to do Jim Craig now? Let's do Jim Craig. Yeah, let's do Jim Craig. We should do Jim Craig. We got to get through his whole thing because it's almost like a side story running through the whole movie.
You brought this up when we first started talking about this movie. Is Herb Brooks, not Garth, Herb, is the actual, like, he's the main character.
Yes.
He's the focal point of this movie. The team, obviously, is a focal point, but he is the main character.
Yeah.
But as you said, Jim Craig is, like, second or third.
Probably, yeah. He's right up there.
He's right up there.
The thing with Jim Craig, too, that makes it so interesting is, I mean,
he's a good
obviously,
actor.
Obviously it's a true story. And yes, he's an actor. He's not a hockey player. Yes,
exactly.
That's the other thing. But, I mean, the other thing with him is he has, like, his whole own story, and none of the rest of these guys really do. Like, Urizioni is an important one of the hockey players, but he's always, you only ever see him in the hockey context. OC, kind of the same thing. Like, you know, he has his whole injury storyline and his whole like beef and getting over it storyline. But like all of that is about the game. Jim Craig has, the situation with his family.
He has a whole backstory that makes you like get attached a little bit to the character because you're like, oh shit. Like, I'm sure you'll explain, but his mother is dead.
That's
somehow.
Right.
How did she die? Who knows? Car accident, cancer.
I'll look up how she died, but
she's dead. The point is she's dead and he's bummed.
Jim Craig's mom died right before this happened.
Yes. And she told him that she wanted him to play for the Olympics.
Yeah. Okay. I don't see on here how she died.
Okay. But all right.
It doesn't matter. She's
dead.
And she asked him to play for the Olympics. And he wasn't going to do this.
Because, he had an offer from Atlanta, right?
Yes, he had an offer of a $30,000 signing bonus from Atlanta, which in the 80s is a lot of money. Especially for, you know, a minor league team. Oh, I guess it would be it wouldn't be a minor league team. It would have been the Atlanta Flames.
Yeah.
Before they moved to Calgary. So it would have been an NHL team. So he had an NHL offer that he turned down to play in the Olympics because his mom died and he played unfreaking believable.
He made the right choice.
He's why they won this tournament basically.
Well, it reminded me a little bit of, cause we've talked about this before, is Craig Anderson when he played and he was extremely motivated by his wife's cancer diagnosis, it seemed like.
Yeah, and he was unbeatable.
And he was unbeatable. Sometimes these family tragedies can, especially for goalies, because goalies is so mental. It's all mental.
And
if you're fired up and motivated enough, I promise you, you're going to stop that puck.
And you would assume, because you know you and I, being hockey fans, know this to be true. For every underdog upset story in hockey, there's a hot goalie. 100% of the time.
100% of the time.
Like, it's impossible for a bunch of 21-year-old college kids to beat the Russians if their goalie's not playing out of his freaking mind.
Exactly.
It's just like, if I knew nothing about this, I hadn't seen the movie, anything, and you told me that this crazy thing happened, I would assume that Jim Craig played out of his mind.
100%, Rams. It's exactly how I feel. But that's why I think he's such an important character, too.
That's right. So let's go through the Jim Craig scenes. The first one is he doesn't do the test.
Doesn't do the test.
They all do the psychological test. Herb says it's to make sure he can push them that hard.
Yeah.
And he knows he can push Jim Craig that hard because Jim Craig straight up says, I don't see what this has to do with stopping pucks. I'm not taking this goddamn test.
Which is pretty smart answer.
And then goes and tells him about his mom. Remember, he chases him down and tells him about his mom. And I'm sure when Herb heard that, he went, okay, this is a kid who's clearly got a lot of balls. But he just didn't take my test. Also, too, I can push this kid because he's doing this for his dead mom. He's not going to quit if I skate him too hard.
No, exactly. There's a deeper level of motivation. It's not just you pushing him. It's his life.
And then you get that great scene with his dad before he gets on the bus where he tells him to keep his glove hand up and they have a little moment.
Well, and that's – sorry, I keep doing this, but near the end there when they win and Jim Craig is on the ice and he sees his dad.
That's a great moment. Yeah. When he's holding up the number one.
He's got the flag behind him and he's pointing. Like, that for me was one of my favorite scenes.
It was emotional. Yeah, I love that.
I don't tear up, but I didn't either. I didn't on that one either, but it was cute.
No, it was great.
What did you have anything else for Jim Craig? Or
for Jim Craig? I don't know. You know, he gets fired up when Herb wants to put Janicek in. Oh, Janicek. That's the other thing we got to point out here.
Okay.
The other goalie, the backup goalie, was Herb's goalie at the University of Minnesota.
Who had
just won Herb a national championship.
Yes.
That's why they're all shocked when he says Jim Craig's going to be the goalie. Because they're all like, this is your guy. Like, he just won you. He's the reason.
Yeah.
And you're going to sit him.
Which shows a little bit of how unbiased he is.
Yeah, seriously.
Right? Like, it shows you that, hey, this is my guy. And guess what? I'm making a point by not playing him.
Well, and that can make trouble for you. Because, like, remember when Marty St. Louis demanded a trade because Steve Yzerman didn't pick him for the Olympic team?
Yeah.
And
you're right.
You know. Herb's like, I'm winning this thing.
Yeah,
I guess Steve Yzerman did too. But
well, there you go. So maybe it all works out.
And I'm pretty sure he actually got to play after someone got injured. I'm not sure if I'm remembering that right. But
St. Louis?
Didn't Stamkos get injured and then St. Louis got to play?
Yeah. Oh, maybe you're right. Yeah.
Ended up playing anyway, but he was still so mad that he didn't get picked.
A little bitter.
But, I mean, yeah, that shows you a lot about him. Now, the actor in this, he's the only other, like, well, I guess Doc and Craig Patrick are actors.
Doc looked familiar. I've seen him in
White Collar. I've seen him in shows before. That guy.
Doc looked like he was a character in Harry Potter, like a professor.
But out of the hockey players, like, those guys are all just hockey players, except for Jim Craig.
Yes. Well, I said that when we first talked about doing this movie. I was like, that guy looks familiar.
Yeah, so he was in Friends and CSI New York.
Yeah, I know him from Friends.
And he also said, I'm just reading this off his Wikipedia page, but apparently he said that Jim Craig was a childhood hero of his.
Wow, that's cool.
He was
cool.
Really honored to get to play him. He said that he wanted to play Jim Craig. Like, when he was trying to get into this movie, he really wanted to play Jim Craig. Because Jim Craig was his hero as a kid.
That's cool. That is cool. That adds another layer to it.
Yeah. I really like that. So let's do some of this. I mean, let's get into it. What aged the best? Herb's idea for a hybrid of the Canadian-Soviet styles focused around speed. Basically describes hockey in 2020.
I was going to say modern day hockey, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Basically like way, way ahead of the curve.
Yeah, yeah.
The Canadian style at the time and the Soviet style at the time merged is basically what we have today in the NHL. And yeah, he was like 40 years early on that.
Yes, yes. So the actual style of play aged very well.
Yeah. I put all the hockey. I mean, all the hockey.
That's I knew that was going to go. Yes, yes. The hockey, even when you watch it now, which obviously I did, you're like, wow, like it's good hockey
stuff. It really holds up.
It holds up.
And this is 16 years ago, and it's set. And it's set 40 years ago.
The movie itself holds up.
Oh, the movie itself, yeah. It really does.
Like when I looked it up and you were like, yeah, I watch it, I was like, 2004, man. I feel like that's not going to be relatable now, but it's very, it looks holds up great. Very well. It still looks great.
Yeah. That's a big part, right? Cause a lot of these movies don't.
I said to you when I first watched it, I go, it's set in the '80s. It came out in 2004 and it's got a '90s vibe. Like it's just fun.
It really does.
It's a fun combo, but like, it's very, I don't know. It still feels good. Like it's a good great. Movie.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you get hockey players to do the hockey scenes. Even and Jim Craig, who, you know, we talked about, is an actor.
Yes.
He is played in the hockey scenes by Bill Ranford, former goalie for the Edmonton Oilers and a whole bunch of other teams.
Really? I didn't know that.
So that's why he looks so good.
Thought he was playing hockey himself.
I love a bunch of other stuff in this. How they talk to each other. I mean, without swearing, this is as hockey as you can possibly get.
I think that's the very good point you brought up, is the fact that there is not a lot of swearing.
Yeah. Is there any?
That's why I said not a lot, because I think that there might be a couple things, yeah, right?
Could be.
But anyway, it's not, it's very clean dialogue.
And yeah. If there is any, there's barely any.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's so much so that we don't even know exactly how much. Like, yeah. it's not a lot, but it's very clean dialogue, and it kind of, you're right, it makes the movie a little bit more digestible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is a family movie. I mean, I watched this movie when I was a kid. I watched this movie, I think, in 2004.
Yes, it's the kind of movie where if my nephews were old enough, I'd be like, you should watch this. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Like, this movie came out when we were 10, and I think I watched it when I was 10.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And, like, you can.
You can. Like, right, exactly. There's no titties.
It's just as titties? Enjoyable at 10 as it is now, really.
Yeah, you're right.
I love the grudge holding between the players.
Well, yes, it is funny because you are bringing players in from, like, other leagues who are playing against each other, so you know there's going to be beef. I've always wondered that when you bring in, like, a league together on one team. I'm like, there's people are gonna be like, ah, you're from Philly, fuck you, but like, it seemed to be pretty realistic that
it happens.
Yeah,
it happens. And I mean, it happens less now, I think, because a lot of these guys are friends off the ice. They train together in the summers and they do a lot more of that stuff than they used to. But back in the 80s, I mean, that this was definitely exactly what that would have been like.
Yes.
And I mean, there's all kinds of stories about national teams over the years that have disappointed because the guys hated each other.
Right. Yeah.
Or there's some famous ones where, you know, they put it aside to win. There's one Canada Cup, which is like all Islanders and Oilers when those teams were at the top. And apparently a big part of why they won is they had two captains, Wayne Gretzky and Milton Ontario's own John Tinelli, were both captains. And basically the main goal was, okay, let's be cool for the next 3 weeks. Let's all be cool. We're better than all these teams. The only reason we're going to lose is if we're like fighting amongst ourselves this whole week.
Well, that's an awareness you need to have. If you're going to go into that, you need to be aware that you're going to be like, all right, let's just shut it down. Like, we're good enough.
So, I mean, the Spanish national team in soccer, remember when they went on that big run where they won all those tournaments in a row?
Yeah.
Those guys were like 50% of the team played for Barcelona, 50% of the team played for Real Madrid. They had a massive rivalry. I mean, they always have, but especially at that time, it was like at its peak. And those guys all hated each other. But like when they came together for the tournaments, they basically declared like a truce for a few weeks.
Yeah. It's smarter than most places. Like I remember, I think the Dutch had an issue like that on their national team where like Robin and Van Persie hated each other.
That's right.
Like,
yeah.
God damn it. Just work it out.
You can both be the star. You don't have to just be one. Oh
my God. These fucking people. I remember my dad and me were talking about it over breakfast one day, and we just got so mad. We're like, these idiots.
It's really selfish, but...
It's what it is. It's selfish.
But people are like that, and I like that they put that in the
movie. People are selfish, and you're right. It made it a little bit realistic.
And that line from Doc that you love is perfect, where they talk about how they were all too busy hating Herb Brooks.
Too busy hating Herb Brooks. They hate each other.
Yeah. I put Herb Brooks suits in the What Age the Best. Now, you might say they belong in What's Age the Worst.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think they're hilarious.
Yeah, they suit him, literally.
That's the thing, yeah. He's an 80s hockey coach. And that's what I think an 80s hockey coach is supposed to look like.
Yes, yes. If I see that guy walking down the street now, I'll be like, oh my God, don't ask me to change.
I'll assume he's Jim Carrey doing a movie.
Exactly, exactly. I didn't know Borat 3 was coming out. Like, it's one of those things. But yeah, it's a very 80s style of suit.
Yeah. I put most of the jerseys. Now there's a couple that I'm going to put in What's Age the Worst.
Okay,
go ahead. Most of them I think are really good, including the US blue one, which is incredible.
Yes, yes. I honestly like all their like the US jerseys. The white one was pretty sweet too. Like it's
Can we get a shout out for Romania? The Romanian hockey team making an appearance in this movie, also wearing a yellow and burgundy jersey that is just like so bad it's good.
They were definitely like, what is a Romanian color? And they're like, burgundy. And they're like, put it on the list.
It's just ridiculous, but I love it. I think it looks great.
Yeah. Hey, look, again, these jerseys are 80s jerseys.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're fun.
They're fun. They're goofy.
They're fun and goofy.
Yeah. No, I'm all the way into that. The Russians.
The Russians is just it looks angry.
Yeah, I mean, I actually the Russians overall, I have in What's Age the Best from this movie.
Oh, the Russians are flawless. Yes, yes. They still seem like they're legit Russian.
Yeah, nothing should be changed about the Russians. The Russians are like, I can't believe how good they did, how well they nailed that. And I mean, you know, we talked about it earlier, all the countries really, but especially the Russians.
Yes, yes.
The Americans look almost Canadian.
American. Part of me, when they were like, "Ah, we're from Minnesota," I was like, "Oh my God, you guys could be Canadian!" Like you guys should all be
the flow and like Ralph Cox's mustache,
the mustache, the beer drinking, so, like the it just remind like I was like, "These are Canadian kids," but
real Canadian vibe, yeah.
It's real Canadian vibe, but they're just Americans who are playing hockey, which is pretty Canadian.
Exactly. Hockey culture is kind of Canadian culture.
It's pretty Canadian, yeah, so, yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah,
it makes sense that they're like that.
Right.
And I put the end credits where they have Dream On, that Aerosmith song, and then they also show all the guys and tell you what they ended up doing.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I did see a little bit of that.
Now, if I have one little thing I would have changed about that, I would have included like their hockey careers in that little bit. Because like, you know, they put like that OC selling insurance and stuff, which is true, but he also played for the Blackhawks. Like, you know what I mean? Like you could have
not thrown, just an insurance salesman.
Yeah. They put something in for Jim Craig. I don't remember what it is, but like he played in the NHL. Like you could have included that he did go play for Atlanta.
Right, right. They're definitely trying to make it more like, hey, they're schmucks.
Yeah, just a bunch of kids, which just like they are mostly.
Yes, of course. But I mean, they did play professional hockey.
Yeah, a lot of them. Like so a lot of them played pro, and a few of them played in the NHL.
It should be noted, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I love the end credits. I thought that was great.
Cool.
What's age the worst?
Well, the nitpicks for me, like the dialogue. Oh,
we'll get to the nitpicks. That's a different thing. I'm talking about like straight up bad stuff.
Okay, okay.
Nitpicks is like, we like this movie, but like, here's a thing that kind of annoyed me.
Well, but then maybe
I'm talking bad. Like, I'll give you an example. The first one I have. An example. Down, the credits at the beginning are 3 minutes and 20 seconds long.
Yes, Ramsden. Okay, yeah. But see, okay. I had that as a nitpick. I had that as a nitpick. Yeah. So I didn't know that.
But that's not really a nitpick. That's just bad. Like, that's that just straight bad. Up that. No, it's no, terrible. No, yes. I don't know why they did that. It's like unbelievable.
It was a timeline because I was watching it leading up to it. And I'm like, we get it. There's a Cold War. People are scared. Like, the Olympics are happening.
It's unbelievable how long it dragged on.
I was like, why am I watching Nixon get evicted from the White House? Why?
I know. What the hell?
Why is Nixon making a cameo, getting evicted? Like, what are we doing?
Why did they do that?
Like, it was weird. It was weird.
Oh, my God. That was horrible.
I'm watching Nixon get escorted out of the White House by armed guards, and I'm like, is this hockey?
it's unbelievable how bad that is. It's so long.
Yes, I agree. Okay, I do remember being like, what the fuck?
I went back and counted how long it was. It's almost 3.5 minutes. It's unbelievable.
Funny. So funny. Well, okay, then
who approved that?
In terms of what aged a little bit poorly is just maybe the length. I mean, you say yourself there are definitely, it's tough to remove scenes because they are very important.
It is tough.
There is a little bit where I'm like, oh my God, 2 hours and 15 minutes. You couldn't have shortened it, but.
You could have got it to 2 hours, I think.
Sure. Well, I'll take that.
I don't know if you could have gone shorter than that.
3 minutes off of the top would have
been. Yeah, exactly. 3 minutes right off the top.
I'm watching a nuke get launched into the ocean, and I'm like, okay.
Like, a lot of the stuff that's excessive that you could cut down is, like, the games, and I don't want them to cut that because all the hockey is really great.
Yes, no, that exactly. That's kind of why. And that's why I brought up how much hockey was actually on screen, because it is important. It's fun. It makes it the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, the length, for sure. And the opening credits is just – it's ridiculous. It's absurd.
Funny. So funny.
Herb Brooks starting practice with the gauntlet.
Yes, yes.
I don't think that flies in our new age of concussion protocol.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
I mean, definitely had some coaches who did that, but probably don't have any coaches who do that now in 2020. Not just because we don't have practices anymore, but...
I just picture someone going, hey, coach, what about concussions? And he goes, get out of here. Go home. Get on the bus.
Yeah. The other thing I had too is like we talk about in What's Age the Best. I brought up how Herb basically predicted future of hockey with how he wanted his team to play.
Well, yes.
But then when we see them doing drills and practice and stuff, they're basically just skating their dicks off for like 30 minutes. They do like no skill work.
Right. Right. You're like, I thought you were going to implement like protocol here.
Like, yeah, he's supposed to be like this genius new school hockey coach, and he's skating them in suicides till they like pass out. What?
So funny.
Now I had all the Patty stuff in What's Age the Worst. Okay, I know so you're a
why
fan.
Don't you like Patty?
So let's have the Patty.
Why don't you like Patty?
I don't understand what the point of her
Patty is
in this movie is. So like
it's
basically
supposed to show he's a family man and he's got a kid and he's got a wife.
Yeah, but he's an asshole to Patty.
He's
pretty much the
Patty.
Whole movie.
He makes her cry like the first
You're supposed to be rooting for Herb. Like, you know how I talked about how Ralph Cox, they make you like him and then they cut him and like that works perfectly. I'm supposed to be rooting for Herb. Why you put in all these scenes where he's an asshole for no reason?
No, for real. It's all for no reason. Cause I brought this up last time, but it's like that she goes every 4 years you dive into this thing. It's like, you can't handle once every 4 years for him to lose his mind a little bit.
Oh, that too. See, like also why is Patty like, why does she not get that?
And why is he
such a dick?
Dream? No, it's true. It's true. But it is like, it's as you're saying, you root for her Brooks, but like, you kind of root for Patty because you're also like, hey, hopefully he wins this gold medal so he stops being a dick to Patty. You know?
I don't understand. Like, if you're telling me we can get this thing down to 2 hours, I'm cutting the opening credits, and I'm cutting everything with Patty in it the entire way through. It's awful.
Oh, man.
It's all awful.
She stuck by her man, though.
She did. Gotta give it to her.
Patty's
a real one.
She stuck by her man.
Patty's a real one.
She was there at the final game, baby.
Yep, she sure was. She's there for all the games.
That's true, but she, like, in the final one, she's, like, you're watching her cry and Herb's in the locker room being a bitch. Like, you are kind of like, okay, now they can get that marriage back on track.
Picking up the kids from soccer practice.
Yeah, honey, I've got a game to coach. It's like,
why is that scene in there?
I think it's trying to make them relatable.
Yeah, but it's just
You're watching that and you're going, oh shit, I gotta pick my kid up from soccer practice. Let's turn this movie off.
Oh god, that's awful. I put you know how we talked about the jerseys, but most of them are good. I put the gray Norway jerseys. Those are awful. They're so bad.
Well, it's kind of like some of them did look a little bit Christmas sweatery.
Yeah, yeah. And now those in particular are just, they're garbage.
Yeah.
They're horrible. I put the whole, the Soviets might not come plot line.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's kind of what the opening credits, I think, lined up with like.
They spend like 15 minutes on this and it's like, we know they go.
Yes.
You're not you're writing a movie, but you're writing a movie about something we all know happened.
Yes. Stop. And you've made it clear
it's a true story. Yeah, make it really clear it's a true story right at the beginning.
Right at the beginning, like, they're like, U.S. plays the Soviets in the final game, and then right away they're like, are the Soviets even going to come?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you just said they are.
We know they're going to go.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
But will the Soviets arrive?
That part, horrible. Just like that whole period. You could just take that whole bit out of the movie. It's awful. It's just a time killer. I'm pretty sure how you have that like little skip thing where you can skip
the
like 15
seconds
ahead.
That whole thing.
I was just tapping it. I was like, are they done? Are they done this part yet?
I thought that was only on Pornhub. They had that.
That was awful. Yeah, that's where I watched the movie.
A different miracle.
American college kids. Fuck up, big Russians.
Your parents walk in. You're like, it's a movie. It's the miracle.
Yeah. Now this part, I don't know if it's just because I'm not American. I don't love the whole like America really needed this win because of the times.
Yes. Yes. Well, but yes, part of me made it go, if that's all you need to make yourselves feel better, you got a real issue.
Yeah, I guess I'm not an American who grew up in the 80s, so like,
yes,
know, maybe
exactly. Well, that's the thing, is I'm sure if we talked to someone from the States who was alive for this and like it was a big deal, I'm sure would be like, how dare you talk shit about that? Like,
but like for me, it aged badly. I was watching and I was like, I don't care, guys.
Yeah,
I don't care. I don't, it doesn't matter to me.
No, it's not that like we're invested in the States fucking economy. Yeah.
I put that they just kind of skipped over a whole bunch of stuff, like, which, you know, whatever, it's a long movie already, I get why they did it, but like they beat the Czechs 7-3, who are the best team other than Russia, and then they skip the whole gold medal game. We don't get any of the gold medal game,
right? Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure that was an epic comeback too. I think they went down like 3-1 and came back and won it again.
Right.
And all you get is Herb Brooks being like, and of course it was another comeback. And I'm like, well, like, I couldn't have got 2 minutes of the gold medal, like 2 minutes.
So true. So true.
I don't know what was going on with that. And then obviously the haircuts, they're terrible, except for OC and Jim Craig. You have some nice flow.
I was just going to say, it's just because the flow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Cox has a terrible haircut.
Oh my God. It's awful. He saves it with the mustache, but like
the mustache saves it. Yes.
Now, let's do the nitpicks because I know we've got some that you're fired up about.
Well, I mean, a little bit the dialogue at points.
Well,
obviously,
for sure.
There's points within the dialogue where you're like, okay, a little cheesy.
You know what's funny? I think you'd agree with this. The dialogue is probably actually the best part of this movie.
Well, that's where I have a little bit of an issue with it.
And then there's parts where it's terrible.
Yes, exactly. On some levels, it's so smart and witty and fun. And then you get some cheesy lines, which I guess it's a Disney movie you're going to get. You brought that up, and that's a good point. It is a Disney movie. You're going to need some cheesy lines.
Yeah, but some of it, I mean, like, he doesn't have to yell. Oh, yeah. I am a hockey player.
We get it. Yeah, you're playing in the Olympics. No shit.
We know. We have watched the entire hour of this movie up to this point.
Yes, yes. We saw you throw up on the ice. Please, we know.
We're aware. I had, like, in training camp, they're wearing, like, their college stuff.
Right, yes, you probably
don't understand why they're doing that. It's so weird. Like, we couldn't have got some practice jerseys for the boys.
Exactly.
Couldn't like, just, like, show up, bring all your shit.
We're the most powerful country in the world, and we're going to the Olympics, but bring your own gear.
Bring your own stuff, guys. Jerseys, too.
Jesus.
Herb's excuse for being late after he skates the team in Norway is that their plane hit a moose.
Yes.
So
yes.
Now I have a question. I assumed he was talking to Patty, but is he? Like, who is he talking to?
I thought he was talking to himself.
When he's on the phone?
Oh, no, no. Yes, I thought it was Patty.
Okay, I thought it was Patty, too. But I wasn't sure. It might have been, Patty. Like, the someone else. But, like, I mean, obviously she knows he's lying.
Well, I mean, I'd laugh if she was like, okay, great. Yeah. Be home. Hope you're safe. See you later.
Your plane hit a moose on the runway? What are you talking about?
She's like, I watched the game. You were skating them.
They showed it off the camera.
She's like, the cameras didn't stop. I mean, they rolled on for a few more minutes.
They got a bunch of weird stuff in here. I don't want to get too much into it because I don't want to hate on this movie too much because I really like it.
Yes, no, I mean, we could nitpick a lot, but
I just want to throw in here some of the stuff they say about the Soviet team, which they have to do because you have to make it seem like this team is completely unbeatable.
Okay.
They talk about how they beat all these all-star teams and they never lose and all this stuff. They played Canada in the 1972 Summit Series and they lost. I mean, they lost by one goal to the best professional hockey players on planet Earth, but they lost. True. Like, so when you're saying like they're better than everybody in the NHL, whatever, like, I mean, they're not. They're pretty good. They are as good as those guys.
Yeah.
But like they did lose. They lost the 1976 Canada Cup. They came in third behind Canada and Czechoslovakia.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, you know, they're not unbeatable. I mean, it's incredible that these 21-year-old college kids beat them.
Yes, yes, that's a testament. But you're right. They aren't the best of the best.
Yeah. Like when they show that they beat the NHLers in 6-0, when they're like, oh, they just beat the NHL All-Stars 6-0. They did. That's true. Mm-hmm. But it was a 3-game series, and that was game 3. They lost one of them. The other one was a 1-goal win. And they actually got outshot in that game, but Canada's goalie, Gary Cheever, shit the bed and let in 6 goals on 19 shots. And well, Tretiak was unbelievable for Russia.
There you go.
So it's like, I mean,
we can stack the stats a little bit.
Yeah, then like I get why they do that. It's a nitpick, you know what I mean? Like if I was making this movie, I would have also done that. But
I agree.
I mean, if we're being real.
Be real, Ramsden.
Yeah, they, you know, a Canadian all-star, a real Canadian professional Olympic team at this time, like the style that we sent now, probably would have beaten the Russians and the Americans.
Yes, I was just going to say, and probably the Americans.
Yeah, like a Wayne Gretzky-led 1980 Canadian Olympic team would have dominated this tournament. So, like,
no chance. Yeah, you're right.
I don't know if dominated, but they certainly would have been close with the Russians.
Yes, yes.
Like instead of this one Russian team that's way better than everyone else, there would have been two teams that were way better than everyone
else. Exactly, exactly.
And the miracle probably would have only happened once. I mean, I don't think the U.S. would have been able to beat Russia and Canada.
Right, right. No.
Maybe the miracle would have been the Americans beating Canada.
Hey, that's a fun movie. Then we would have had a lot more investment in it.
But here we are. Boris Mikhailov being the best center in the entire world, including the NHL. I'm not having it.
I love how Ramsden's my nitpicks are so dumb. They're like, they said hockey player too many times, and Ramsden's like, I don't like how this stats line up. There's something wrong with these stats.
I'm not having it. I want to see who won. I'm going to look up who won the Hart Trophy in 1980. And I'm pretty sure it was prime Wayne Gretzky.
Okay. Like, I don't like how these people are represented.
Also, you know how many points Wayne Gretzky had that year? Just going to read this out for you right now. This is the guy who's not the best center in the world, apparently. He had 55 goals, 109 assists for 164 points. I don't want to – like, don't give me that. You're telling me Boris Mikhailov would have dropped 170 points if he was playing in the NHL that year? Right. I fucking doubt it.
Ramston's pissed.
I'm not even pissed. It's just – it's a nitpick. You got to say these guys are the best so they seem better for the movie.
Yes, yes. Well, it would have been funny if they were like – they went out there and they're like the third best center in the world.
That's what I'm saying, right?
You're like you're kind of like, Jesus Christ, who are they playing? A bunch of scrubs?
But I'm going to give the Russians one here. When they say Vladislav Tretiak was the best goalie on earth, I mean, there's no way to prove it, but I think he probably was.
Okay, there you go.
So it's like, you know.
So that quote by Herb Brooks about how they just sat the best goalie in the world.
I think that's true.
That's an accurate quote. Love
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I think Look that's that. True.
We turned a nitpick into a positive.
Now, the cone, I don't have anywhere else to put this. I just had some random facts. The first one I've already said about how the guy, Jim Craig, is, you know, he's a guy from Friends.
Yes.
And one of the main characters in CSI New York. And writes a New York Rangers fan blog in his spare time. And his childhood hero is Jim Craig.
That is hilarious. Well, yes, I love that.
His name is Eddie Cahill.
Eddie.
And during his Friends run, he dated Jennifer Aniston.
Like in the show, or he was actually banging Jennifer Aniston outside the show?
In the show.
He was Jennifer Aniston's girlfriend. Boyfriend.
On the show, yeah.
With that hair, maybe girlfriend.
So I'm just throwing it out here. This guy seems pretty awesome.
This guy seems, well, that, yes, he seems very fun. I like him.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Just because of all of the stuff we know about him, we're like, you're a good guy.
Now, we got a couple more things, and then we're going to get to who won the movie. Okay. I wasn't going to include this, but I felt like I had to after watching this. I based the structure of this podcast with these categories off a movie podcast I listen to. They do something called the Heat Check Award, which is like a basketball player heat check. You know what I mean? He comes in for like a few minutes and he's just on fire. Some guy off the bench who just plays like 20 minutes, but his 20 minutes are incredible.
Lit it up, yeah.
I wasn't going to include this, but I have to include it and I have to give it to Jack O'Callaghan.
Okay.
Because he is the definition of like a movie heat check.
Right.
He's barely, like, he's not in this that much, but
no.
Every line, every scene, he's unbelievable. He's so good. And I got some great Jack O'Callaghan stuff.
Give me the Jack O'Callaghan stuff.
Okay. Well, first of all, he's from Charlestown, Massachusetts.
Robin Banks.
Which is the town.
The town, literally, the movie.
Love it. NCAA tournament MVP at BU.
Okay.
And he played 389 NHL games for Chicago and New Jersey in the 1980s. And a real NHL career.
That is a real NHL career. Yeah.
Almost 400 games. Like, that's legit.
That's legit.
He's played by Michael Mantenuto, who played hockey at Maine, Division I. And was recruited by Boston University, where Jack O'Callaghan actually played.
There it is.
And the best fact about this guy is he got the role after fighting another actor who was picking on him during hockey tryouts for this movie.
So you told me this on the phone the other day, and I think that is insane that they had actual hockey tryouts for the movie.
Yeah, though they had to make sure he could play.
Yeah.
Except for Jim Craig, apparently. But,
well, I mean, not without that hair.
But even then, he's a big hockey fan, so I guess he could play.
You could probably, yeah. Maybe goalie was tough.
Yeah, that's like why they needed. Yeah, like you needed the stunt double for sure.
Yeah, but you needed to stand in for the goalie.
There are some scenes where, like, he pulls his mask off, and it's
he seems to
actually him. So I'm sure he did some of it.
Of course, he seems to know what hockey is all about, especially if it's a Rangers fan blog.
Yeah, yeah, like, exactly.
Come on.
But for the rest of the guys, they're not wearing masks, so it does have to be them, because they're wearing no visors, no cage, nothing. And this guy had to actually do all the playing OC does.
And clearly, he was able to pull it off. Yeah, he played
D1, and he looks like he's good.
Yes, no, exactly.
Right? Yeah, like how he's moving and stuff.
He's played hockey.
100%. Now, I have one other fun thing. This is just for fun. So you can think about this a little bit. I came up with this the other night. I had some scouting reports.
Now,
these guys all had real careers. So we're just going to ignore that.
Okay.
I'm going to just talk about what you saw in this movie. What kind of player comp they would have in the NHL. Right now, I'll give you a good example. Jim Craig. Yeah.
Okay.
Unorthodox goaltending technique. He's kind of all over the place.
A little bit.
Got a questionable glove hand. Little shaky glove. Remember his dad?
Keep that glove up.
But when he's hot, he's unbeatable. You know what goalie I'm throwing out here for Jim Craig? James Reimer.
Ooh, okay. Now I see what you're doing. Okay.
You know what I'm doing?
Got it.
It's not bad, right?
It's a good comparison. When you said all over the place, I guess I was going a little further back. I was like Tim Thomas.
Ooh.
Like American, like.
There you go.
Like scrambling, kind of unorthodox style, but still really good somehow.
When he's on, he's incredible.
When he's on.
Tim Thomas. It's a good
Thomas.
One. I had another one. I had one for OC.
Who you got?
Puck moving defenseman. Looks like he's a great skater. Can lay the body, get a little bit mean if he has to. Real talented puck mover. I went with Duncan Keith.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I see it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if we got any other ones. I just, that was what I had.
Those are good, man. Yeah. I like that.
All right. Do you want to get to the big one?
Let's do the big one, buddy.
Who won the movie?
Well, I have an answer.
Okay.
And I know you're going to hate it because of something you've already said in the podcast, but I think the true winner is America.
That's real cheesy.
I know it's cheesy. Well, okay. My other one you're going to hate. My other one is Patty because she finally got Herb to fucking sit his ass down and stop freaking out.
That's awful.
Patty's the real winner.
Patty is not the real winner.
I mean, obviously Herb is, but Patty finally got her
Patty
husband
did
back.
Not win a gold medal.
Patty got actually, her husband back.
Patty won husband. The least in this movie out of anyone involved.
Patty got a partner.
He had to pick up both her kids every day for months.
Patty was a single mom for a while.
Yeah. She's driving the carpool to school every day all by herself. Herb's watching fucking Russian game tape from 1973. Patty lost all the way through here.
Patty's a loser. Damn it. Sorry, Patty. I tried.
You went with America. America. I will accept America.
Well, the reason I picked America was because kind of how you said you didn't like that fact where, like, they're the, like, they are kind of, like, that helped the country, apparently.
So they say it
helped glue the country back together, for fuck's sakes.
I'll accept USA hockey.
Ooh, okay.
This definitely did the most to grow the game in the United States of anything ever.
Oh, okay, yes.
We probably don't get Austin Matthews.
Maybe just hockey
the US
in general.
Don't win this.
Yeah. Just hockey in general benefited. Yeah.
No, you're skipping. There's an obvious answer here, though.
Well, it's Herb.
Yeah, well, it's Kurt Russell.
Oh, it's Kurt Russell. Why? Did he win an Emmy for this or an Oscar?
No. They don't do that for Disney sports movies. But this movie...
Sorry.
This entire movie is just like, can Kurt Russell be good enough to do this entire movie on his own? This is solo mission of a movie. He gets like... Almost like I know we talked about how much we like Jim Craig and OC and Doc and everybody.
Cox.
But it's just him.
No, you're right.
He's
but
carrying this thing
now
on
that I
his
think about
back.
It, maybe that's why they had so much hockey in it.
That might be, yeah, because there's no one else in this movie.
Because you need the hockey team to play. That's kind of why you got actual hockey players. But, like, you can't let Kurt Russell be on screen for 2.5 hours.
But, like, he is.
But he basically is. He basically is.
Almost every OC is funny, which is why he gets in the best quotes. But the only person who says anything important in this entire movie is Kurt Russell. The only person who does anything important in this entire movie is Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just like they put an entire movie on his shoulders, and not only is it like watchable, it's great.
It's a great movie. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's all him.
It's all Kurt Russell, baby.
It's all him. Now
that's funny. You're like, they don't give out Oscars to fucking Disney sports movies.
There was no chance. But like, he's great in this.
I think he's good.
He should get some recognition. If you watch that speech and you don't think that's great acting, I don't know what to
say. Right. Yes.
But I want to point one thing out about Kurt Russell before we move on here. Kurt Russell's son, Wyatt Russell, was an NCAA and minor league pro goalie.
Ooh.
Yeah. I know a guy who reffed one of his games.
Wow.
And he said that he was doing a game, and it was a minor league pro game. And he said there is usually about 30, 40 people at these things.
Yeah.
At whatever team this was. And he said the place was packed. And he couldn't believe it. And he said he looked in the crowd and there was Kurt Russell and his wife, Goldie Hawn, who's a famous actress.
Yes.
Because his son was in net.
Wow.
And they filled the place out because people just wanted to see Kurt Russell.
They're like, is Kurt Russell in town? Oh my God. Where is he?
And maybe he did it. Maybe he did this movie because his son likes hockey so much.
Wow. Good point.
Right?
Good point.
His son,
He nailed it.
Oh, he did, yeah. And his son is now retired as a goalie. Apparently he had a bunch of injuries.
Oh.
And now he's an actor. And he's
who saw that coming?
And he was in Goon 2, and he's going to be in a show that's coming up called The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is a Marvel Disney Plus TV show. And he's in 22 Jump Street.
Really?
Did you see 22 Jump Street?
I did, yeah.
He's the blonde guy who becomes friends with Channing Tatum, the football player.
Oh.
That's Kurt Russell's son.
Wow.
I know. Kind of crazy. And
interesting.
Now, I don't know which way this went, but the fact that his son became a minor league pro goalie really pushes it over the top that Kurt Russell won this movie, because the way I see it, either he did such a good job in this that his son got inspired to become a hockey player. He made a hockey movie because his son loves hockey, and he ended up making one of the greatest hockey movies of all time.
Yeah. It was a win-win.
I'm calling that W for Kurt Russell.
Okay, fine. When you say who wins the movie, turns out it's a win-win for Kurt Russell.
Yeah. I think Kurt Russell's picking up the Olympic gold on this one.
Okay. I think you're right. That's a good
one. America might be on the podium.
America's close.
I think Jim Patty Greg got eliminated third. In the group
Patty,
stage.
You don't like Patty. I'm a fan of Patty. Patty's
I think Patty lost worse than Germany lost in the World Juniors last night.
Cut deep.
Shots fired at Patty.
How dare you?
All right. Well, do you have anything else you want to throw in here?
No, I mean, if I'm putting a bow on it, I want to say it was a fun movie. I really enjoyed the shit out of it. I'm glad you kind of made me watch it. And, it's honestly, if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's totally worth it.
Do you want to give a rating?
Ooh, yeah. Let's give a rating. I feel like I should have a glasses on, which I do, and a notepad, which I also do. I solid 8.5.
That's
solid 8.5.
You know what? I hadn't thought of what I was going to rate it, and right as you said 8.5, I was like, that's about right.
It's about right, right? Like
it's about right.
It's not a 10, but it's not a 7. It's really good. It's one
right.
of the top.
It's not perfect, but it's way better than average.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and it's,
I would recommend.
100%. If you're a hockey fan, you have to watch it. And if you're not a hockey fan, I think you'd probably still like it.
And that's kind of why we did this podcast, because you're like, you're a hockey fan, you idiot. You should have seen this movie. And I'm like, fair enough. So
now that you've seen it, Do you feel like I was right?
You are right. You're right more than I like to admit.
And on that note, I think we're going to end the podcast.
All right, buddy.
Nice job. Great work today, pal. You were on fire up there.
Fuck you.
And I just want to include this before you sing us out and we sign off. I think this is 1 year of Up to the Minors podcast.
Yes, yes. I think now we can definitely officially say we've been doing this for a year. And,
our baby is 1 year old.
We've got a 1 year old and we're on the verge of divorce.
Well, yeah, I mean, it did take us a long time to get this. Yeah. So let's be honest.
All right.
All right, pal, you want to sing us out?
All right, let's do it. Da-da, 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 it's Up to the Minors podcast. There's a new COVID.